shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up. Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours in sight.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. Mark Kent, I'm your host once again. We'd like to thank our sponsors, all you people out there that have helped us stay on the air. And today, I guess, is August 12th, 2013. You're listening to 1460 KCNR Free Fire Radio. And I'm here in the studio with my sister Linda.
Good morning.
And Savannah, our trusted soundboard operator and all-around great gal.
Hello.
Hello. We are streaming worldwide, and you can call into the program today at 530-605-4567. Again, that's 530-605-4567. Or you can go to KCNR1460.com and join the chat room. All shows are podcast and archived, so you can go into either sovereignmind.ning.com, or you can go to KCNR1460.com and go to the archives, or go to Sovereign Mind Radio or from there. Let's see. You can also friend me on Facebook at Mark E. Kent. That's full of information and news stories. That's my news feed these days. And I've got a quote here, and then we'll go into veterans events. The first quote is, "I will not sign a plan that adds one dime to our deficit, either now or in the future. I will not sign it if it adds one dime to the deficit, not now and in the future, period. And to prove that I'm serious, there will be a provision in this plan that requires us to come forward with more spending cuts if the savings that we promised don't materialize." That was Obama.
I was going to say, when he was a senator?
No. That's when he was passing Obamacare.
Oh, even after being a senator.
So, let's see. I'm just wondering where the provisions are in the plan now to start the spending
cuts. You have to pass it first, yeah. And then we'll go back and negotiate, remember?
Yeah, does the word liar say anything to you? anyway, I just say it like it is, call them like I see them. Anyway, yeah. Do we have any veterans events?
We do have veterans events coming up on October 25th. We have the grand opening for the Veterans Home at 10 a.m., Now, this is just the opening of the home. As far as we know right now, there is no residence. They will hopefully be putting in like 10 a month. But this is just for the opening and for people so that they can go in and tour the home. So, again, that is October 25th at 10 a.m. Also, that weekend is the North Valley Stand Down at the fairgrounds. It's the 24th, 25th, and 26th. Out at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. So they have a lot of different services that they offer with that. We will be out there serving food to the veterans. So if you want to come out and check it out, come see us.
Very good. Very good. On Monday night at the Reading Tea Party at 2570 South Bonneview at Destiny Fellowship, they will be showing the movie Farmageddon. And so we invite you all to come out there at 6 p.m. and see the movie Farmageddon. Tomorrow, Chris Ann Hall... She will be here in Reading, and she will be doing a seminar. It's at the it's the Senior Citizens Hall at 2290 Benton Drive,
That's
Reading.
Correct.
And it's $5 a person. Bring your own snacks and drinks and et cetera, and settle in for a great afternoon. She's a very good speaker. She's actually an attorney and a former prosecutor that was fired after teaching the Constitution to Tea Party groups. She would not sacrifice her liberty for a paycheck. She is a disabled veteran of the U.S. Army, a Russian linguist, a mother, a pastor's wife, and a patriot. She now travels the country and teaches the Constitution and the history that gave us our founding documents. Chris Ann Hall does not teach the Constitution. She lays the foundation that shows how reliable and relevant our founding documents are today. There you have it.
And she has some really good books, not just for adults, but for children too, usually available so that it's easier to teach the children.
Sure. Yeah. She presents the genealogy of the Constitution, the 700 year history, and the five foundational documents of the very roots of the American liberty. And so if you can't understand and interpret the Constitution without a firm grasp on its very foundation, then that's what she teaches. She connects the dots. So that will be tomorrow, again, Sunday, October 13th, noon to 6, Senior Citizen Hall in Reading.
Fine. Yeah, 2290 Benton Drive.
Very good. Let's see. What else have we got here?
Well, while you're looking there, I just want to welcome home Missing in America Project. Okay. They just got back from doing a 4-state-wide mission. I believe they took almost 200 veterans to their final resting place.
Wow.
So good job, guys. Glad you're home safe.
Very good. Okay, you know, we've got all kinds of stuff to talk about today. I want to do quite a bit of segment on the Obamacare here. So I have some things that I want to get out of the way on the money talks and what's going on in the market a little bit. And then we're going to talk a lot about Obamacare and the implementation of it. There's so much news going on today. It's absolutely ridiculous. You got the governor, vetoed, a bunch of, seven actually, gun bills yesterday, and signed another seven. It looks like, from what I'm seeing here. And so that's all in the news. Rejected the gun control bills, that were on laws on some, semiotic, automatic rifles. That was vetoed. So, I'm not so sure that I'm going to give kudos to the governor on this as much as the pressure that was brought to bear from everybody about passing these restrictive anti-freedom, yeah, anti-Second Amendment gun laws. So that's
I think we did a good job in blowing up the phone down there.
I think so too. And otherwise, I think that they probably would have passed these, but the support against them was so overwhelming that he did the right thing. I'm not sure that he did the right thing because he's a great guy. So what else have we got here? I've got a couple of things here. One here is that, and this goes into the Obamacare stuff, so I'll save that. And this is on a article from the Canadian Free Press, and it's titled "The Game's Afoot." If we've been paying attention, we might have noticed that Al Gore, while using a highly controversial, some say spurious, evidence to sell us the notion of a catastrophic anti-Pogenic.
I'm not sure what that is, but.
Yeah, exactly. Global warming, leaped to a rather curious and drastic solution, the wrenching transformation of America. Well, what this basically talks about is that, how do you wrench the world's most, foremost free and prosperous nation into a downtrodden virtual third world status? In a word, sneakily. You do it by creating an Orwellian terminology to hoodwink the public into accepting new paradigms that lower people's standard of living and impinge on their freedoms. You use incrementalism, changing things ever so slightly, little by little. Think of the proverbial unsuspecting frog in the gradually heating pot of water. You fill the media and the state and local governments with your agenda, mask it as strategies to save the planet or to create equity or to protect lizards and minnows. In Texas, 4,400 acres are currently protected for the benefit of a species of blind salamander. I kid you not. And in California, 250,000 acres of prime Central Valley farmland were transformed into a virtual dust bowl after the irrigation water was cut off to protect a tiny minnow called the Delta smelt. You do it by forcing cities to march to a new drumbeat as you quietly alter their zoning laws and land use policies, striking surreptitiously at the heart of property ownership and individual rights. So, what does that sound like to you?
A bunch of gobbledygook.
Well, it sounds just like Agenda 21.
Yeah, well, that too.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, here in California, it says much of the transformation is inflicted on us via new powerful regional boards. Yeah, so.
Once again.
Yeah, you got the ABAG and the the dirt bag and the, I don't know what all. So anyway.
Be careful there.
I think we'll have to go to a break here and then we'll come back and we'll have some more news here on the podcast.
All right. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Red and Yellow Cab, and we'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Red and Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county, no matter the hour. Call Red and Yellow Cab, and we will do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call us at 222-1234.
Join We the People Radio every Sunday morning with Elizabeth Woodward and Aaron Ryan, where we talk about all things fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution.
Let's roll, America. There's a job to be done.
This two-hour program offers you the opportunity to learn about issues the mainstream media only delivers in sound bites. Go to our website, wethepeopleradio.us, learn about people that are coming on the show, and if you'd like to hear them in person, find a Tea Party meeting near you. You can find that link at wethepeopleradio.us as well.
This Sunday, we're joined by the owners of Drake's Bay Oyster Company, a popular oyster farm at the Point Reyes National Seashore. They bought Drake's Bay in 2004. Now they're trying to keep the feds from shutting it down and turning it into wilderness, despite the fact many environmentalists support their oyster farm. Kevin and Nancy Lunny join us this week on We the People, Sunday mornings 8 to 10 on AM 1460 KCNR. This alert is brought to you by Registration Express Group.
Well, folks, here we go. They're huddled up at the DMV, and it's another delay of game penalty. But what's this? B-75 is running out the door, and the whole team is following. They're heading to Registration Express Group at 1805 Hilltop, Suite 1, and they're in the door. The transaction is complete. Touchdown! If you're still in line at the DMV, break out and try something new. Registration Express Group. Fast, easy, and convenient. They issue official DMV registration tags and plates on site. Call today at 222-4700.
Song. I like that. Mr. Blue Sky out there. Should be blue skies today. Fun out there in the sun with a big biker weekend.
Yeah, with Big Bike Weekend out there.
Absolutely. That last song, Born to be Wild, was for your motorcycle guys out there.
Yeah, there was a lot of motorcycles over there. I was over there this morning. So a lot going on over there.
Don't get too wild now. So let's get back to the news here. The news that nobody else will talk about.
The real news.
Yeah, the real news that mainstream media just seems to simply avoid, and that way it doesn't exist. I've got one here from Zero Hedge. NSA's Utah spy center crippled by power surges. Evidently, long before Edward Snowden's whistleblowing revelations hit the world and the Obama administration's approval ratings like a ton of bricks fell, they ran a story here of unprecedented NSA domestic espionage project, codenamed Stellar Wind. So, you know, where this story goes is basically there has been like, 10, 12 fires This sounds like Obamacare. Yeah, it says been hobbled by a chronic electrical surges as a result of at least 10 electrical meltdowns in the last 13 months.
Dang it. I hate when that happens.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, call me crazy. Doesn't it sound like somebody's sabotaging it to you?
No.
No, that could never happen, you know.
Just an overload. Just slight little problems.
Yeah, we've got this facility that's 1.4 billion data spy center over there in Utah. And, you know, it spans 1 million square feet, uses 65 megawatts of energy, enough to power a city of more than 20,000 people, and can store exabytes. Now, I haven't even heard that one. Zettabytes of data. A zettabyte is 1 million times larger than all the printed material in the Library of Congress. So,
wow.
So that's how much data storage that these guys
got.
You
can't even hardly think how much that is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's beyond comprehension.
And that kind of feathers into another story here, going to Obamacare website now. If you go onto the Obamacare website, it reveals that your personal information can be shared with the police and the IRS. So they have a data storage that's 100, you know, million times bigger than the Library of Congress and everything, but you know, they're going to keep all your data here, but of course they're not going to use it. They're just storing it.
They're just storing it. Yeah. And allowing the people at the IRS have access to it that don't do anything criminal.
So you go into your doctor under Obamacare, you say, hey, I got a real cocaine problem. You know,
you didn't show that on your taxes.
And I need some help. And the doctor's going to go, by law, excuse me, hold on, I'll be right back after he goes and calls and reports you to the police because there's no longer any confidentiality with the doctor. So.
Yeah, and that was supposed to cost something, I forget, like $97 million, and now we're up to, what is it, $6 billion for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was only going to cost $97 million.
Yeah.
And it was going to work just fine.
Everything's great out there. Yeah. Mr. Blue Skies is on the way. Yeah. So here we go. We also have another story here. This is from the 10th Amendment Center, and it's titled A Powerful Lesson, Coalitions Building for the Win. I thought this story was excellent because what it did was it said basically that we know that in the last couple of weeks that Jerry Brown signed AB 351 into law, the California Liberty Preservation Act. It makes a new state policy to refuse to help the federal government implement infinite detention under any federal act that purports to authorize such. The legislation is a great first step towards putting a horrible federal act back in check here. Immediately after the bill passed, okay, the 10th Amendment Center reported with updates and email alerts to our tens of thousands of subscribers and so forth. This is a pretty important thing. Now, what's interesting about this story is that what happened was how this got a coalition was formed in order to get this bill into being and passed and so forth. And you know, the coalition's is a strange bedfellow, okay? Because the coalitions are the Tea Party and the ACLU. Yeah, now that just goes to show you that we need to start coalescing instead of being divided and conquered.
Right, and this isn't the first time that we've coalesced with them.
Not at all. What we have to do is find these places where we can come together and actually get something done to preserve our freedoms. Because that's really what's happened here is that if we can put aside our talking points, our ideological differences to concentrate on the real problem, which is the government taking away our freedom and agree that it's not just the government, but it's also the large corporations in conjunction with the government, that, i.e. the definition of fascism. So that would bring a lot of people together if they would just get over this back and forth,
Yeah, because we all want the same goal. We want our freedom and our liberties that we're entitled to.
Yeah. So that was injunction, not just the Tea Party, but the Oath Keepers. Okay.
Oh,
so
nice.
The Oath Keepers were involved in that. We're starting to have an effect. The ship is turning. And, so we're starting to see some effect of the pushback from the different groups that are starting to, get involved. Now, with that, I want to, do we have time to play that video clip? Yeah, let's go ahead and play this video clip. This is, let me cue this up. This is Peter Schiff, and he's going to talk about, you know, the gold, Goldman Sachs trying to flush out the gold sellers in the market this last week. Everybody's, why is the gold and the silver dropping? Why, what's going on? And the, you know, the panic. But this kind of explains what's happening right now. So go ahead and, cue it up, Savannah.
The Euro-Pacific Bank and author of The Real Crash, and he joins us. So Peter, good to see you. What have you learned, if anything, over the last 2 weeks with regards to how we should be trading the markets and how we should be interpreting what's taking place out of Congress?
Yeah, I think as, you know, when you're talking about the underperformance of hedge funds, that's the problem. If you try to use your brain to invest, you're not going to do very well because you have so many people who are investing without thinking, and they're just buying whatever's going up. And so sometimes to be right in the long run, you have to risk being wrong in the short run. I think a good look would be at the gold market to prove that point. Look at the price of gold dropping sharply over the last couple of days, supposedly because we've had a resolution to the debt ceiling crisis. But the best thing for gold is raising the debt limit. Raising the debt limit means more inflation. It means more deficits, bigger government. That's bullish for gold. What would have been bad for gold was to not raise the debt ceiling and to instead deal with our problems in America, actually deal with the debt. But by kicking the can down the road, that's good for gold, yet the price of gold is going down anyway. So in the long run, it's a great buying opportunity. But in the short run, people who don't understand the gold market are selling.
Peter, this is John Authors. Could I ask you, in the last couple of years, I think most people would say that the balance has shifted towards deflation as the big risk rather than inflation. If you look at other commodity prices beyond gold, if you look at the producer price indices, is that a reason why gold is going down, that deflation risks seem to be trumping in inflation? And if so, why are we seeing this kind of deflationary pressure when we're printing so much money?
No, well, the printing money is inflation. The downward pressure on prices is for assets. Stock prices, real estate prices should be falling, but they're not because of all the inflation that the central banks around the world are creating. But to deny that inflation is somehow or is not showing up in consumer prices is wrong. Consumer prices are rising much faster than the governments admit. But the fact that so much of the inflation is temporarily housed in asset prices, again, whether it's stocks or real estate or the bond market, all of that inflation is going to make its way into prices for those producer and consumer goods. So if you believe that it's deflation, that's the threat, you're living in denial. It is massive inflation. The greater threat is that the central banks lose control and we have a runaway inflation, not just elevated inflation, but hyperinflation. That is a far greater threat. Hopefully we avoid that, but there's a lot of inflation that's going to be created between now and then. And I think that the bigger money is going to be made into buying the inflation trades that everybody is selling. So people should be buying gold. They should be buying commodities because this sale won't last. Eventually, the people who are doing the selling will figure out that they've got the economy wrong, right? That the U.S. economy is not recovering, that the Fed is to do more, not less QE. It's not going to work. It's not going to revive the economy, but it will create a lot of inflation. And now with Janet Yellen, rather to take over the Fed, it's even more bullish.
Peter, let me just include some viewer comments and questions that are coming through. We'll float the email address once again for you and the Twitter address. Jeremy writes in and he says, the gold and silver markets have recently been punctuated by huge sell orders that occur just above the key technical levels, precipitating further algorithm-driven sales. Why do these sales occur and who is behind them?
Yeah, you know, it might be very coincidental, but, you know, Goldman Sachs came out on Wednesday and said gold was a slam dunk sell if we had a resolution to the fiscal problem. And then all of a sudden the next day, the Republicans cave and say they're willing to raise the debt ceiling and gold goes down and you get these big sell orders early in the morning where you have millions of ounces dumped on the market with no limit. I mean, who sells with no limit? I mean, obviously, when you're trying to sell, you want to get a good price. But the sellers now don't want to get a good price. They want to drive the price down. And the question is, why do they want to drive it down? Obviously, it helps governments if we can pretend that there's no crisis because the price of gold is going down. But obviously, it helps people who are trying to buy. Low prices helps the buyers. So figure out who's trying to buy gold. Maybe Goldman Sachs wants to buy, but they need to flush out a lot of sellers in order to get a good price.
Peter, do you think that that we're going to see tapering during the fourth quarter of this year, or is that for sure pushed out into next year?
No, we're not going to see it. We're not going to see it next year either. We're never going to see it. The Fed is never going to taper. That doesn't mean QE won't come to an end, but it's not because the Fed brings it to an end with tapering. The Fed is going to increase the size of QE. What's going to end it is going to be the markets. When there's a dollar crisis, when the dollar collapses, when the bond market collapses, then the QE is going to stop. But it's not going to be just easing off on the gas pedal. It's not going to be a taper. We're going to have to slam on the brake, and we're going to bring on a far worse financial crisis than what we had in 2008.
Peter, if the economy were a cocktail, what would it be called, do you think? A question we're asking people today because we're talking to the bartender from the world's best bar who's on the show.
I guess
later.
A kamikaze.
A kamikaze. It's a good one.
Kamikaze.
Very good one. I think we're giving him a lot of ideas. I think he's sitting in the green room right now.
I think we'll go to a break with that, the kamikaze comment. So.
Okay, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Megastar Mortgage, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar.
Join me, Paul Preston, Monday through Fridays from 10 a.m. to noon for Agenda 21 Radio, right here on KCNR 1460 AM. And visit our website at agenda21radio.com.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we explore how technology continues to impact our daily lives. Join us, Bob and Brenda Belongi, every Saturday from noon to one to learn about the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, along with the breaking news that affects your day-to-day digital life. Boomer Tech Radio, brought to you by Advanced Automotive, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. That's Boomer Tech Radio, now noon to one on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Hey, football fans, Nate Abarea here. It's that time of the year. The helmets are strapped, the lights are on, and high school football is back on your radio. We'll be bringing you local gridiron action all season long with live game broadcasts from all around the North State. It's Friday Night Football right here on KCNR 1460, the pulse of Shasta County and Redding's new home for high school football.
Back, Sovereign Radio, taking care of business here. I have a quote here. If we got one tenth of what was promised to us these acceptance speeches, there wouldn't be any inducement to go to heaven. Will Rogers. Yeah, you know, when you look at that, I'm convinced at this point thoroughly that, you know, we're not going to see the metals go through the roof until the actual huge problem, whether it's the bond market or the currency or whatever. But it's going to be the only safe place to be at that point, and they will have flushed everybody else out.
Right.
And if you're running into the stock market, you're going to get creamed because...
Yeah, they're kind of giving people like a false sense of security there. They're making it look like the metals aren't any good to be running to.
Right.
They're buying it all up and getting fatter, being a fat cat, and driving people towards the stock market.
Stocks or bonds, yeah.
Yeah, and then they're going to end up with nothing.
Right. That's exactly what's happening. So, you know, do your homework if you don't believe me. So, I've got another article here from King World News. A former U.S. Treasury official, this is Paul Craig Roberts, president to seize total power is the title of it. Today, a former U.S. Treasury official warned King World News that the president of the United States will declare a national catastrophe and seize total power, much like Caesar would, if it is deemed necessary to avoid a U.S. default and a subsequent collapse. He also spoke about other drastic measures which could be implemented in order to avoid a U.S. default. Okay, this is what Paul Craig Roberts had to say. He was asked, Mr. Roberts, is there any chance of the U.S. defaulting here? His answer was no. If the United States were to default, it would be the end of the U.S. as a superpower. No one in Washington wants to lose that kind of power, so I fully expect a last-minute deal would be reached. Now, in the event that both sides play this game of chicken to the very end, and we are down to the last hours, and fears of default escalate dramatically, I think a couple of things could happen. First, you would see the Federal Reserve, of its own initiative, would simply lend the U.S. Treasury whatever money it would need. You have to remember that the Federal Reserve lent to the U.S. and European banks more than $16 trillion in order to enable them to avoid default or outright failure. Remember, the banks considered too big to fail. So if it was not just the TARP bailout, which was a very small, you know, in part considering the total, it was the lending by the Federal Reserve that exceeded the $16 trillion that kept the system afloat. So if the banks are too big to fail, clearly the U.S. government is too big to fail. Like I said, the Fed would simply lend the Treasury the money. Second possibility would be that President Obama, because of the laws that are already on the books, would have the power to declare a national catastrophe and simply assume the leadership of the government. This gets Congress and the courts out of the picture. At that point, there are no limits on the power of the president if he calls for a national catastrophe. This would mean that the president, on his own authority, could raise the debt ceiling. So if either of these two events would happen, it looked like no deal was, coming forth from the Congress. It could be the President Obama or others in the executive branch are planning, you know, could it be that they're planning this to have a catastrophic event? Is that why they won't negotiate? Is that why they're taking this to the ceiling? I don't know, but it's something to think about.
And why they're trying to inflict so much pain upon the people?
Are they planning to use this crisis to invoke that executive order? Well, never let a good crisis go to waste.
Well, that's their motto.
You know, when you look at all the things that have happened in the last years, three or four years with the bullets and the Department of Homeland Security and all this stuff, to think that that's not a possibility.
Yeah, because a lot of the stuff that they're doing, that they're saying because of the financial crisis, has nothing to do with it.
Right.
You know, it takes more people. A good example is the memorials and stuff. It's costing them more money to put people in place to guard them than just to leave them open.
And they're inflicting pain.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Dr. Roberts goes on to say, of course, it means that essentially the president would become a Caesar. That would also mean that the Congress become like the Roman Senate, which lost its power and simply became a collection of notable figureheads. Generally, when democratically regimes fail like this, you end up with a Caesar and a shutdown. And a shutdown is, of course, the epitome of a democratic failure. So this would give President Obama all of the justification for exercising the executive orders so the president can rule independently of Congress and the courts. Now, this is a former Treasury secretary under Ronald Reagan. If that doesn't send some chills up your spine that this guy could do that, and would he, you know, is he trying to crash the economy? A lot of people that I talk to say, yeah, because you can't make this many mistakes in a row. On purpose.
Well, there's just too many things that point in that direction, even if it doesn't come to that. Too many things are pointing to what his agenda really is.
Whether it's Obamacare, you name it. I mean, you can't make this many mistakes on accident, it seems to me. So take it for whatever it's worth. We're just reporting what's going on out there. And so let's talk about Obamacare now. And so we've got, I've got several stories here on Obamacare. One is, this came off of, this is a week or so ago. This came off Obamacare Facebook arrest with citizen sticker shock. So basically what happened was when they posted the Obamacare Facebook page, it was riddled with people expressing sticker shock over the government's high cost premiums after struggling for hours to wade through the technical failures, vexing Obamacare exchanges and so on and so forth. And we all heard about all the Obamacare exchanges and, mm-hmm. you know, and getting on to that. So 51,000 people signed up, this last, week or so since the start of this.
Yeah. It was something like here in California, half of 1% actually
signed
up.
It was like one person in, Louisiana or something. So this is going to be a problem and it's going to be an epic failure, if people don't sign up. And, you know, personally, I think that, you know, when you talk about giving all your information to the NSA and you can go to the police department and your doctor, I mean, there's some problems here that, and then you, think about the story that I just read.
Right.
I don't know, you know, what could possibly go wrong here, you know, so.
Not that they don't already have your information, but why hand it to them?
Right.
On a platter.
One person on the Facebook site said, "I'm so disappointed," she wrote. "These prices are outrageous and there are huge deductibles. No one can afford this." And the comment received 169 likes, you know, so yeah, there's no way I can afford it. Another commenter said using the Kaiser subsidy calculator. Heck, right now I couldn't afford an extra 10 cents, said in quotations, a month. Apparently I make, $8.55 an hour to get the subsidy. So nobody can, you know, it's like everybody's going to get.
You know, and some of the Democrats I know before was like, "Oh yeah, I'm all for Obamacare and this is going to be great." Then they go on there and see that they're going to have to pay and right. They're like, "Oh, whoa. But they didn't tell me it was coming out of my pocket it's that like, I was going to have to pay for these premiums."
Yeah, this is the old Nazi thing. Yeah, as long as they're taking the guy next door, I'm
yeah,
cool
they,
with it.
Yeah, they know? Were all great as yeah. long as we were paying for it. Now that they realize that they're going to have to pay the premiums and they're not cheap, they're like, "Oh, wait, maybe this isn't such a good idea."
Yeah. So what's happening?
We were trying to tell them.
Yeah.
And this is just the beginning with it.
Oh yeah, we're going to just have free health care. Nobody's yep. There's going to be no rise in premiums. What was that thing on the unfiltered quote? Let's see. "I will not sign a plan that it adds one dime to our deficit. Either now or in the future. I will not sign it if it adds one dime to the deficit. Now or in the future, period. And to prove that I'm serious, there will be a provision in the plan that requires us to come forward with more spending cuts if the savings we promise don't materialize." Where's the spending cuts there, Mr. Obama? We forgot about that one, no problem.
Must have dual personalities or something.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Something's going on there. In the next story here that I have on Obamacare, before we go to the break, money talks, Obama walks, some doctors to accept cash only. So this story comes from the Daily Sheeple and the Wake the Flock Up is...
Well, you gotta be careful with that one.
Yeah.
Almost got the button on that one.
So, if you can't afford affordable care, now,
You see a problem with the sentence?
Oh boy. Well, anytime they name something that they pass in the law up there, like the Affordable Care Act, you know, you might as well just, you know, it's exactly the opposite. It's the Unaffordable Care
Act. Kind of like the smart meters, you know.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's all of the above. So it's absolutely ridiculous that anybody believes that these guys are going to tell you the truth and that this is not a government takeover of healthcare. You are missing the boat and you need to quit drinking that funny tea that you're using from your medical crop out there in the yard. So anyway, if you can't afford affordable care and do not have an employer-provided health insurance, what are your options when you need to see a doctor? The answer may be to find a physician who offers direct care, also referred to as membership medicine, cash-only practice, direct practice, or boutique practice. Doctors who use this business model charge patients a monthly or annual membership fee or retainer for unlimited office access, usually including 24-hour email and telephone accessibility, and the bill and bill patients for tests and supplies as they're used. So with that, let's go to a break, and we'll come back.
All right. This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
Apologize for America. That old BFW, that is sacred ground. And we like to sing along on that good old Haggard song. When you're running down our country halls, you walking on the fighting side of me.
The home of good health in Reading for over 30 years is Orchard Nutrition. You'll love Orchard's in-store deli featuring no nitrate meats and fresh roasted beef from the local Lazy 69 Ranch. Try their bakery fresh bread, and of course there's organic produce washed in Orchard's purified water. A part of the Reading community for over 30 years, family owned and operated for three generations, Orchard Nutrition is far more than a health food store. They're the North State Nutrition experts. Orchard Nutrition, 221 Locust Street in Reading.
You're probably wondering, where do I go? I'm out of coffee. Well, let me tell you, Tobacco and Brew, guaranteed to provide you with the freshest coffee beans. With the rising cost of coffee, Tobacco and Brew offers the best prices, quality, and a large variety as well. Check it out. Go in and meet the friendly staff who will help you with selection and specification of your brewing needs. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
The Clover Fire was devastating for many. Haven Humane Society was there to help. In cooperation with the Shasta County Sheriff's Office, we responded to the area and were able to evacuate over 100 animals and help dozens more in the fire area remain safe until their family was able to return. We want to thank this wonderful community. Without their support and donations, we would not have been able to help. Our best wishes go to the fire victims and their families, two and four-legged. With your continued support, we will be ready to once again help our neighbors if the need arises. Please donate to Haven Humane Society. Thank you.
Hi, Linda Bott here. Join me every Thursday night at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR 1460 AM for On the Spot with Linda Bott. Find out what's hot and what's not. We talk about fun. You buy Dandelion, Crackmaster, Mount Shasta Mall, Anselmo Vineyards, and Estate Granite. On the Spot, Thursday, 6 p.m. right here, KCNR 1460 AM.
Crank that one up. I guess we got to start talking sooner or later. Start dancing.
Yeah, we could do that. Why not? Not a lot of room in here, but, you know.
You know, let's keep going on Obamacare here, because there's blood in the water.
Might as well keep it going.
This is from the Mail Online, exclusive. This is today. Just 51,000 people completed Obamacare applications during the website's first week, out of tens of millions of Americans in 36 states. Obamacare's main sign-up engine attracted just 6,200 new customers on its launch day and 51,000 after the first week. At the same rate, six-month open enrollment would sign up just 2 million Americans, including 14 states and D.C., which have their own insurance exchanges. The Congressional Budget Office says Obamacare needs at least 7 million customers to stay afloat. Numerous Obama officials have denied seeing any enrollment figures at all. I don't know what the figures are, but, yeah, it's all working and it's all on
track.
It's
all good, yep.
And there's going to be a few glitches here and there, just like Apple. You know, it's like, unbelievable. So.
Well, they didn't say they were intelligent.
Yeah. Doesn't mean you have to be a rocket scientist to join the government. Mail online sources are two Health and Human Services workers who have access to the data as it's crunched. A Texas congressman says anemic national enrollment numbers are roughly the population of a small town in my district. So this won't work if that's all the people that sign up. And you know something? I'm advocating that, you know, I kind of.
What's it going to take?
I kind of take affront at the fact that you're telling me that if I don't buy insurance, I'm a criminal. And I'm forced to buy insurance under the law. You know something? I got a problem with that. It's called freedom.
Yep.
You know, it's called my constitutional rights that you're trampling all over and that you're telling me that this big executive power in the sky knows better than everybody.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. Mr. Obama, he knows everybody is just, we're not worthy.
We don't know any better. You have to remember that. We don't have the intelligence to know any better. Just, he has to tell us what to do.
That's right, because this is Surf City.
Yeah.
Okay, Surf City, here we come. You know, not the kind that you're out on the board. You know, the old kind where everybody just does what the king says. So, you know, Surf City.
Doesn't work for me.
Yeah. So that's a problem. And so, you know, going back to the story here. The White House did not respond to emails seeking comment.
They don't respond too much to anything like that.
Yeah, you know, nothing's really wrong.
Probably because they didn't know that anybody wanted them to.
They don't have any hard numbers.
Yeah, they find out after the fact.
Yeah, neither the Health and Human Services nor the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services would comment on the record. About the numbers, Enroll America, on Obama's administrative-related organization that aims to help Americans sign up. Yay! Only replied to a request for information a day after this article was first published. They said, I don't have any hard numbers beyond what the HS, we got so many acronyms, I don't even know, HHS. Did the HHS call the
DHS,
the DHS and the FBI to the CIA on the QT
the
so that the NSA could get involved with the CIA?
The IRS.
It's like, really? I mean, this is we got so many agents, we can't even figure out who they are half the time. And, oh, by the way, is anybody noticing the shutdown out there except people who work for the government?
Yeah.
I'm hoping they shut it down forever. I'd like to see a shutdown. So.
It would do us good, probably, if we could get it shut down.
So the White House didn't comment, but several administration officials have claimed this month that they didn't have access to the kind of raw figures that Mail Online obtained from the people who work for them. So in other words, you got a journalist getting, you know, information from the inside of the HHS, Health and Human Services. And the guys that are the administrators of Health and Human Services says we don't have access to the information.
We know nothing.
They know nothing? Yeah, I mean, really? So it's comical.
Yeah, believe that one.
Yeah, I mean, if it wasn't so screwed up, it'd be comical. And, you know, when you look at the big picture here, do you trust this government? Do you trust Obama? Do you trust the Republicans and Democrats to take care of you and your health care and all your needs? You know, you ever see Wall-E? You know that cartoon, Wall-E, you know, where everybody on the ship is being taken care of by the master computer and one guy at the helm, and everybody turns into a bunch of fat blobs, okay, that have no idea what's
going on.
Well,
it's kind of like the blob, but not a good ending.
And it's true. I mean, what are you guys going to be dependent on the government for the rest of your life? You know, and they just tell you what to do after a while, and you know.
Well, the thing of it is they're not going to keep giving you what you want here pretty soon after they, you know. And then what are you going to do? You know,
yeah,
life won't be so good.
Yeah. And, so you know, going back to this doctor thing, okay, about the from the sheeple, So this business model, they're talking about the doctors getting direct access, cash only, you know, where they set up your monthly thing. This business model is a win-win for doctors and patients. Both parties avoid having to deal with the insurance companies and the associated high-cost paperwork and red tape. Now, just imagine that. Going back to the free market is starting to come back in the line here because it's the only model that works.
And we know it works time after time again, you know, each time.
Or we can hand all of our rights and all of our freedoms over to a bunch of people in D.C. who are just smarter than we are. And who want to become Caesar.
Yeah.
What's the problem?
Yeah. I got a problem with it.
There you go. So after accepting insurance for 5 years, Dr. Dud Nunemaker and his partner switched to a membership-based practice. Their patients pay a flat monthly fee to have unlimited access to the doctors and any service that is provided in the office. Their fees vary upon age. For children, it's $10 a month.
Wow.
For adults, it's $50 a month, and for seniors, it's $100 a month. So his practice, which is located in Wichita, Kansas, has negotiated pricing for services that aren't offered in their office. He can get cholesterol tests done for $3 instead of $90 that labs typically bill to insurance companies.
Right.
See, what people aren't getting here is that the Obamacare was written by the insurance companies, okay, and this is not about getting it cheaper. This is about a government takeover of your rights and handing all this information over to our
to keep track of us and not to really give us any medical care.
Now, didn't they do this in some other country at some point, this medical care takeover thing?
Germany, you know.
1939.
That was one of the first things they started to do besides the education piece.
But, of course, we're just right-wing extremists that could never that could never possibly happen in America where they would actually the government would take over, even though it's happened thousands of times in the past.
But that's why they demand that you buy the health care.
Well, yeah, otherwise you get fined. And, you know, the funny thing about the fine with the Internal Revenue Service is that there's actually no collecting of it other than they just raid your bank account. But at this point in time,
if you haven't learned yet, don't be putting a lot of money in that bank account.
Yeah, because it could be a real problem if we have a shutdown. Yeah.
So
I don't know. Anyway.
You know, here's on a lighter note. I want to let people know that we actually had somebody for our community that was on honor flight. Jim Gibson was able to go out on the flight to the memorial. World War II Memorial. He was out there with about 50 guys. I got an email about it. He's doing real good out there, having a great time. I guess when they got off the plane, there was about 500 people that welcomed them.
Very good.
So that was really nice to see.
And they didn't get thrown in jail either.
Not yet. They may have a hard time with that one, but Commander Gibson's having a good time with 50 of his buddies out there.
That's great. So. Hey, you know, you come back, you tell stories. I went to the Smithsonian, and then I saw the inside of a DC jail.
No. Well, you never know. The next email might be bail me out, but there you go.
Okay, on a lighter note, I have a joke. What do you call a psychic midget who has escaped from prison?
I had something, but I can't say it. What is it?
A small medium at large. I couldn't help it.
Well, that's much lighter note there. We had to get some humor in here.
Who do we have next week, do you know?
Patrick Jones next week.
Patrick Jones. And
talking about State of Jefferson, of course, and gun laws.
Gun laws and all of that kind of stuff. So we're getting down to the wire here. Anything that we need to add? What do we got, about 60 seconds here?
Just remember, tomorrow is Chris Ann Hall at the Senior Citizen Hall, 2290 Benton Drive, 12 to 6, I guess it is. Admission's $5. She does a great job in getting the information about the Constitution out there so you can understand it better, so you can stand your ground.
You know, the reason that there are so few female politicians is that it's too much trouble.
Budget.
Okay, let me start again. The reason that there are so few female politicians is there's too much trouble to put makeup on two faces.
I'm going to leave that one alone. We'll definitely give her something on that one.
You were born an original. Don't die a copy. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force. And force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
I am just a simple man. But With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. In his weekly radio address today, President Obama said Democrats and Republicans agree on some things and continue working out their differences if they get back to work.
Once the debt ceiling is raised and the shutdown is over, there's a lot we can accomplish together.
In this week's Republican address, House until federal government reopens. Protesters were unable to get under GOP Senator